This is Her Hilltop High. I'm Katie Zolkowski. Ahead of Syracuse University's 150th anniversary, WAER is taking a look at the university's history. The 1980s began in Syracuse with the Carrier Dome holding its first football game, and a fuzzy orange is introduced as a candidate for SU's new mascot. And while Otto and the Carrier Dome have undoubtedly become a part of Syracuse's collective history, a tragedy in 1988 holds a different and important spot.
There was this absolutely massive sort of red glow in the sky.
The whole sky lit up. We thought it was a nuclear explosion, but obviously it wasn't.
Oh my God, it's terrible. And then sparks, and then the whole thing went down.
There was no radio call for help. One moment, the Boeing 747 jumbo jet was on the radar screen. The next moment, it was gone. Crashed into the small Scottish farming community of Lockerbie, 3 miles from the Scottish-English border.
A bomb blew a basketball-sized hole in Pan Am Flight 103's fuselage, breaking the plane apart as it fell to the ground in Lockerbie, Scotland.
The plane hit a petrol station and the south side of the town was destroyed. Homes and cars are still ablaze. The emergency services mount a major operation. The hospital tends the injured people of Lockerbie.
259 people were on the plane, and all of them were killed. 11 residents of Lockerbie also died when the plane crashed to the ground. 35 of the victims were Syracuse University students, returning home from their semester abroad just before the holidays.
My last exam was on December 22nd. I was just so anxious to get the first semester over with and get home for the holidays. And I lived in Flint Hall, and I remember my roommate, in fact, coming down the hall screaming that a plane had crashed and there were SU students on it. It was unbelievable at first, and then of course, you know, we all gathered in the lounge on the floor of our residence hall and were watching the news, and then of course it became clear that this had actually happened. And it was like the bottom of the world fell out at that point.
Syracuse University's campus was shaken, and members of the university community gathered in the less than a decade-old Carrier Dome.
I felt that we were almost in a bubble, where things were very contained. Just the community of the campus became extremely tight. We were all very worried about our friends, who were more like family to us. And the world was really looking in through a very close lens. And it was, in a way, I think that sort of fueled more intense feelings.
The Carrier Dome would again serve as a gathering place during the aftermath of this tragedy, as Chancellor Melvin Eggers led a memorial service for the students who were killed in the bombing.
The desire to be of help and the campus-wide sharing of grief has been total and consoling. The words were, "Is there anything at all that I can do? Would it help or would it cause more pain if I wrote to the families?" I enclose a poem. I will mention them in my prayers. I will live a better life in the days that I have before me.
At this event, Eggers announced a scholarship program that remains one of the highest honors students can achieve at Syracuse University.
There will be scholarships established, 35 of them, one in the name of each of those lost to us.
Scholars are chosen based on their academic achievements and their community service.
I was just very connected to the way she moved forward every single day, and being a Remembrance Scholar is honoring that part of her by doing similar stuff and by being a person that engages in the community.
Scholars each are awarded $5,000 and represent one of the 35 students lost in the bombing. During October of each year, scholars spend a week, known as Remembrance Week, educating the community about the Pan Am 103 terrorist attack and terrorism in present day. There are also two Lockerbie Memorial Scholarships, which allow students from the Scottish town to study for a year at Syracuse. Scholarships are not the only way SU remembers the students lost in the Pan Am 103 bombing.
There will be a very special memorial to the 35 students to be called a place of remembrance. It will be located on the Esplanade, which extends from the prime gateway to the university, which is at the intersection of University Avenue and University Place, up to the Hall of Languages, the first building on the campus. Names will be carved on a stone wall, and there will be an appropriate place for meditation.
The place of remembrance is dedicated in April of 1990. It's now where the Rose Laying Ceremony is held, the culminating event of Remembrance Week, when scholars lay roses on the memorial in front of Hall of Languages to honor all those lost on that day. The Rose Laying Ceremony starts each year at 2:03 p.m., the time the plane exploded over Lockerbie.
Stephen Russell Burrell is remembered for his caring spirit, adventurous imagination, and his warm smile. Although he is no longer with us, he has continued to inspire others and bring people together. He was a true friend, a loving son, a loyal little brother, and an uncle I would have loved to meet. I lay this rose on behalf of my Uncle Steve, and I act forward in his memory.
Kenneth was a Cornell student who had a desire to create meaningful work that was rooted in knowledge and skill.
Another memorial is held for the victims in the Pan Am Flight 103 terrorist attack at Arlington Cemetery. All 259 names are read at the ceremony each year on the anniversary of the crash.
You're on this hallowed ground at Arlington, which is just, it brings you to tears almost being at Arlington. My mother made the comment to me as we were driving up to the cairn that she was being brought to tears, seeing all the wreaths and just being in that space. But when the ceremony started, it starts with a color guard who comes out and we sing the national anthem. And there is a bagpiper who plays music. And there's a choir.
27 years ago, this very evening. So on this day and in this place, we read their names and we remember them together.
Surinder Mohan Bhatia. Kenneth John Bissett. Diane Ann Boatman Fuller.
The bombing of Pan Am Flight 103, of course, had implications beyond Syracuse University's boundaries. Many of the families who lost loved ones advocated for multiple safety reforms on airplanes.
Good morning. This hearing of the Government Activities and Transportation Subcommittee will come to order at this time. We have been joined today by the full committee chairman, Mr. John Conyers of Michigan.
The first legislation passed was the Aviation Security Act of 1989. This provided funding for anti-terrorism assistance, for airport security, and enhanced telephone systems to help those inquiring during major disasters.
Provide us with some assistance. One of the big keys in the LAL system, why it works so well, is that it's a government manned and it's a government funded system.
Okay, so you would like to see a government funded system to help you carry out a plan that is developed jointly with the airlines.
Newly elected President George H.W. Bush established a special commission to investigate the Pan Am 103 tragedy in August of 1989. The commission shared 60 recommendations the following May.
I want to pay special tribute to the families of the victims of Pan Am 103 who brought about the appointment of this commission. If you'll pardon a personal reference, I would like to make particular note of my own constituents, Vicki Cummock, who brought to the attention of this member at least the problems she encountered with the U.S. government in the aftermath of the tragedy which took the life of her husband.
Recommendations included making the government responsible for airplane security, not private corporations hired by airlines. They also called for better staffing and training from the FAA, creating specific State Department personnel to handle needs of terrorism victims, and developing technology for screening passengers and baggage. These recommendations became the Aviation Security Improvement Act of 1990, which President Bush signed into law.
Thank you.
Sound featured in this episode comes from Syracuse University, the Pan Am Flight 103 Archives, the Ted Koppel Collection at SU Libraries, C-SPAN, and the FBI. Join us for the last episode of Her Hilltop High on March 23rd, the 150th anniversary of Syracuse University. We'll take a relatively recent look at SU history and what it's like on campus in the present day. For Her Hilltop High from 88.3 WAER, I'm Katie Zolkowski.